Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hey, welcome into the Labatt Studio, and this is the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Remember, bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. Hey, everybody, thanks for joining us, Penn State fans. We have a jam-packed full hour of Nittany Lions football talk for you. I'm Andy Shea. Joining me in the studio is Bob Flounders. He's Penn State football beat writer for Penn Live and the Patriot News. Bob, how was your trip to College Park, Maryland?
It was uneventful. It was uneventful just about in every phase. I have to say, having been there twice in the last 3 years, it's actually a pretty cool venue. And if you're a Penn State fan, it's a pretty cool trip. It helps that you've outscored Maryland, I think 131-3 in the or 135-3 in the last two meetings. But it's actually a nice stadium. It's actually not too hard to get to.
Nope.
And the weather was very accommodating. I think that even though it wasn't a really much of a game, I think there were a lot of Penn State fans there, and they all enjoyed themselves.
Yeah, I saw at one point in, I don't know if it was in halftime or the second quarter, but Penn State students, when the Maryland students booked,
yes,
the Penn State students, a whole line of them went down and
they were escorted out of the seats immediately by security.
Were they escorted out?
They were escorted out.
They just showed them going in on TV.
Yeah, it was funny.
So our third member of our on-air team, that's none other than Ross the Boss, Ross Tucker. He'll join us shortly. Don't forget, you can get all our content on KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. You can also download our app, Keystone Sports, from the App Store on your phone. And we're on Spotify. Just look us up, Keystone Sports. All right. We have a jam-packed hour for you. Let's get going. Some news and notes will kick off. Bob and I will chat about that. Tucker's Tape, being brought to you by GoPSURV.com. That'll be Ross's thoughts on the Maryland game and what it means going forward. Quarter number three, we have your questions and his answers. It's Ask Ross, brought to you by 409tailgateclub.com. We got a lot of good questions this week. And at quarter number four, we'll preview and make our picks and predictions for the Penn State, for Penn State's 100th homecoming game against Purdue at noon on Saturday. All right, Bob, let's get started. News and notes. Fan base is talking about it. Doesn't matter what you're thinking. Let's talk about the chains. Let's talk about Jake Zembeck and the chains and the lawn boys. And
yeah.
Well, first of all, kudos to Jake for that facial hair.
Right. And the mustache is pretty fantastic.
It's legit.
And yeah. I didn't really understand until this week why he was wearing all those chains. And I'm like, is he just going for a look? But he's wearing the player's chains.
Correct.
And it's actually pretty cool of him to do that. What I would say about Jake is I appreciate how he's handled his situation with the injury. His career never was over, really, pretty much before it got started. But I mean, he stayed at Penn State. He's part of the team, well liked. And I just think it's a pretty neat story how he's handled everything. And now that I know why he's wearing 85 chains during every game,
yeah,
with that
right.
mustache, he's I think he's going to be a fan favorite if he isn't already.
So the Penn State fan base, some like it, some don't. I think James Franklin addressed it well in saying that, you know, we've done things the right way.
Right.
I think we've earned a little latitude. He feels that the players have earned this right to freedom to express themselves. I don't have a problem with that.
Nothing
I think it's
disrespectful,
cool.
I think, than anything that they're doing. And I think that if James felt that it was in any way that way, he would quash it. I mean, he has shown since he's been at Penn State, like, he doesn't put up with a lot of stuff.
You know,
if you break a team rule, you're going to sit, and you might sit for a while. I mean, he's done it with some good players. So, I believe him when he says that, and I kind of agree with him.
Just to let you guys know that Penn State is wearing throwback or retro combo uniforms.
Combination of different eras.
Yeah.
For the fans, you're going to see numbers on the jerseys, and you're going to see
numbers on the helmets.
Numbers on the helmets. Excuse me. I do not want to go that way.
I was going to say, you almost said names on the jerseys.
Yeah, I almost said names on the jerseys. So you'll see numbers on the helmets, and you're going to see white cleats. And the players are very excited about it. I'm sure some fans probably could do without that. But, you know, it's once you know, once in a while it happens. I think it's a great idea. It gets the team excited. James said there was a lot more energy on the practice field, and you know, I think that you just have to take a big picture look at what Penn State's trying to do. If you're a fan that you're a little on the fence about it, it's really for the greater good. And I think that they can do more of these things moving forward.
Yeah, the chains and the uniforms are kind of they're kind of almost the same thing. They're moving the program slowly forward into a different era under James Franklin. And sorry to say, Joe,
I would like to have seen Joe Ross wearing white cleats.
Ross in white cleats. I wonder if he wore white cleats. That's at Wyatt Missing.
That's a question for him at some point.
Because Wyatt Missing's colors are Penn State similar with the Michigan helmet.
I wonder if he ever
wore white cleats. All right, let's keep going with some news and notes. Basically, James talked about it, and you saw it during the Maryland game that at linebacker position, Jan Johnson and Ellis Brooks, that's a timeshare now.
Yeah.
And it's earned by Ellis.
Is playing very well.
So is Jan, right. So they had – Jan already had that trust factor part of it. Ellis just kept getting better where it's a point where you almost didn't have to put him on the field. But I wanted to get your thoughts on it because I think Ellis had to earn a trust factor as well to get this kind of timeshare at that position.
It's amazing. I think the coaching staff felt good about a lot of these backups before the season started. But you got to give Penn State credit for saying, look, we're gonna roll these guys. We're gonna roll in second and third team guys. We know the schedule early in the season is a little bit favorable, and we're gonna try and build some depth because ultimately the teams we have to beat are in the middle third or the back third of our schedule.
Right.
And they played second and third team guys. You know, regardless, when they were struggling against Buffalo, they didn't always have the first team in there.
That's correct.
Against Pittsburgh, they were rolling in second team and sometimes third team guys. And it is now already, I think, starting to pay dividends. And a couple of people that have really benefited, Ellis is one. Jesse Luceda came in and played very well when Micah got tossed for targeting midway through the first quarter. There's a couple of guys, I think, that they're only going to get better. I think they feel good about their safeties. I think they feel good about their backup corners. I think the last piece of the puzzle for this, though, is when the second team defensive ends, and I think they're getting there, can kind of play and collapse, you know, the tackles like the first team defensive ends, and they have four defensive ends that they really love. And I think they're getting very close. I think that's going to be the final piece of the puzzle for the depth issue.
You're talking about Shane Simmons and Jason Owe, right?
Not quite there yet, but they're getting there.
Okay, and then I just wanted to ask you, you're not quite there yet. What is the one element that's still missing?
So
that
James
you're not
said after it? Practice Wednesday that Shane obviously was dealing with an injury last year.
And correct.
I think it was very significant because James said the injury that he had, and he won't say what it was.
Of course not.
But said it was significant enough that it was going to take Shane a little while to get the rust off. They feel like each game he's gotten a little bit better. Jason is just a pure athlete who wants to go up the field. And you can't always do that in pursuit of splash plays. I remember in the Pittsburgh game in particular, they got him, they ran inside him once for a nice play. But he ran a play down in the Maryland game. He would have saved a big play. One of his teammates got there first. He came all the way across the field to get McFarland early in the game when Maryland was still in the game. And I guarantee you there are not many defensive ends that can do that because he was on the far side.
By the way, bye week was good to Etor Gross-Matos. Oh my gosh, did he look good.
It was. That's not a great offensive line. But
I know
they
that.
But you could tell they were ready to play. Sometimes you can tell when the A game's coming and sometimes you're not sure. The A game was out there about 4 minutes into the game. That interception that Jan Johnson made, was it a bad throw by Josh Jackson? It was, but Jan did a great job to get he moved at just the right time to get that ball. Tariq Castro-Fields' interception in the red zone, he came off and underneath coverage to make that play. Those guys, those guys were fired up to play this game. You could tell right away, and they played a very, very good game.
This is the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio, Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Remember, bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. Hey, it's quarter number one. We're kicking off our show this week. Bob Flounders and Andy Shea. We're talking about some news and notes. We talked about the linebackers. We talked about the long boys and the chains. James Franklin.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
He talked about a couple guys that are going to, they move from quote unquote green light status to yellow light status. It's notable. Couple of true freshmen, linebacker Lance Dixon, offensive lineman Caden Wallace. It kind of makes sense that they're going to manage. They said they're going to manage them towards a red shirt, but if it becomes necessary, they're not. But I wanted to get your thoughts.
Yeah, so I think what happened is, and actually James can probably thank Jordan Stout for this, they had Lance on kickoff coverage primarily, thinking we want to get speed on our special teams. We got to get faster, eliminate big plays. He can definitely motor. But Jordan Stout's been so good that he's essentially just taking laps up and down the field and not having to tackle anyone. They can't fit him into the top six. So I think after two or three games of this, they're like, look, do we really want to burn this kid's red shirt?
Running up and down the field.
Yeah, for essentially, and not even being in the play.
Right.
I mean, I think if there's a couple of injuries, they might take him off the yellow. And Caden Wallace, I think they definitely like him, and they talked about playing four tackles. It's hard to talk about it and do it.
Right.
The more significant thing, I thought, Andy, was he talked about a couple of guys that might be greenlit that started the year as yellow. And then I saw this year that one of their developmental players of the week was John Dunmore. And James mentioned John Dunmore as one of the guys that might work their way in. You remember Jahan Dotson really wasn't targeted to be a green until the second half of the season, and then he really helped them. John Dunmore is a really good prospect, and I remember watching him practice in Florida in the Under Armour game, and he is sharp, smooth. He could stand to lose a little weight, but I think they really like him. And if you know, Daniel George has had a cast on his
hand. He's had an injury,
I'm not sure about Justin Shorter because he took that targeting hit in the Maryland game. I think the next man up in the six might be Dunmore because I think they really like how he's developing. He got there in August, but he's a guy I would watch in the second half of the season.
Brandon Smith still on a green light, and you think he's one of the top six linebackers?
Too good. He's just too good, and I think that even if no one does get hurt, he might just force the issue because he's only going to get better. He looks like he's getting bigger every game, and I don't mean that. I mean that as a compliment. Like he's literally getting bigger every game, and they might have the Incredible Hulk on their hands by the time the 2020 season rolls around. But I would definitely, hey, look, he's too good, and they got to find a way to get him on the field. I would not hold that kid back.
So you spoke of it earlier. Micah Parsons was ejected for targeting on a hit on Josh Jackson. He launched himself. That was the problem with that. But you know, he does not have to miss any of this Purdue game, correct? Because he sat out a full half of the Maryland game.
Yeah, Micah's Maryland game will be remembered for targeting and tweeting.
Targeting and tweeting.
Right. And, you know, James was okay with the targeting because he knew he messed up and he didn't, you know, he handled himself well, went to the locker room. It's what he did when he went to the locker room. And it wasn't like an inflammatory tweet. He was supporting the team. So I think he just got a little wrap across the knuckles. I don't think this is anything that's really going to hang, but he did say, like, there's not going to be any more tweeting in-game by anyone.
Nobody. All right, that'll do it for quarter number one from the Labatt Studio. Ross Tucker will join us for Tucker's Tape coming up in quarter number two. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football, flannel, beards, tailgating, oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Cause it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon, stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.